So let's quit trying to do it ourselves. And the first time that Jesus himself acknowledged that he was speaking in the temple. And he picked up the Torah and began to read Isaiah and quoted what we know as Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and set them that at liberty, them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I hopped on to the next word. Speed reading can bite you at times, you know. So, this is what Jesus came for. He did not add and get the church the way everybody wants it and to make sure that you outdo everybody else in your churches and all that. None of all these things that we sometimes get involved in have anything to do with what Jesus came for and what he sent us to do in his place, since he wouldn't be here. Jesus didn't carry on about all the things that we do sometimes. It wasn't important, because he really came to do, like the kind of thing we just been talking about, reaching out to the harvest. He really does care that people are out there in pain, and that they are poor, and that they're in bondage, and they need deliverance. And I want to tell you something else. People need to be healed, delivered from pain, yes, set free from captivity, a lot more than the church needs to be just the way we figure it ought to be. This is straightforward and simple. Until we start asking questions about it, everything Jesus told us to do is simple. But we dig in holes and complications, like the corn mazes that they have out this time of year. I think some people's thinking maybe. This is the list of the things that Jesus just wants to do and sent and empowered us to do. Now, these things like healing the sick and casting out devils. Later he told his disciples and believers that they would lay hands on the sick and see them recover. He told them also that they would cast out devils and even raise the dead. But it was not too long as they went on their journey, endeavoring to do these things, until a man came to Jesus to complain about his disciples. Not about the kind of church they had or anything like that, but the nitty-gritty that his disciples couldn't do what he said they were going to do. Isn't that interesting? I mean, people do complain about they want this church and they want that church, but the real thing people ought to complain about is that we're not meeting their needs where Jesus said that we could. People ought to be looking deeper. You know, we ought to come to church expecting to touch God and to receive from him what he promised. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if people just had that on their minds, just touching God? Because the other stuff will all take care of itself. So they come to him in Matthew 17. And they say, why couldn't we cast the devil out? This is the story of the man who was so desperate to get the demons cast out of his child. And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to that mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit this goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So Jesus' answer was, make it simple, not enough prayer and fasting equals unbelief. That's the answer he gave. You know, there are answers. There are answers. We're just not getting them from God and from the Word of God so that it can change our lives. But Jesus will answer the hard questions. He's not afraid of them. And by the way, we don't have the answers to the hard questions either. We have to get the answers from him. He's telling his disciples that there are some conditions to be met before we can become healers and deliverers. There are reasons why our prayers for healing might fail to bring results, for example. By the way, Jesus didn't promise that every sick person we prayed for would be healed. Did he? Did he? He said we would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. a thinking person gives some room there. And so don't let the enemy frustrate you that some people are not healed. Just go on to the next ones. Because we don't have all of the answers about healing, but we continually search for those answers. What we need to find out is how many can we get healed, and then find out how to get more healed after we find that out. In other words, we need to keep trying to get people healed. I do honor these folks down in Dalton where the oil came out of the Bible, because they've just given themselves to get people healed. And that's why healings are happening, is because their faith and their energies are coming together to really accomplish what Jesus died for. I think to find peace in this area, first of all, we need to understand, realize, God doesn't tell us everything. He doesn't have to, you know, since He's God. But we might want the answer to everything. I know I want as many answers as I can get. That's the way I feel about it. One of my first miracles that happened as I was praying for someone was an answer to a healing prayer for Ann Fletcher probably 45 years ago. Ann's with Jesus in heaven now. And she was healed instantly of tumors throughout her body. She was a novice at that time, still in the Methodist Church, and so was I. There's one reason why I couldn't take credit for this miracle happening when I prayed for Ann, is that I didn't know anything about her needing healing. So I couldn't possibly say I prayed for her healing and she got healed. The fact is, I prayed for her to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which she did, and accidentally God healed her, which is she really needed. It wasn't connected with me, of course. And God did what I asked, and then He showed us what He wanted to do. And here's where this kind of thing happened to Jesus. I want you to see that Jesus walked some things out too. This is how the healing ministry works. God's not limited by our lack of ability to pray exactly right. There's this passage that I like so much in Mark 5. And Jesus immediately, knowing in Himself, this is the woman who has the issue of blood, and she comes. She's the one who says, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, then I can be healed. And Jesus immediately, knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And His disciples said to Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? In the vernacular, you see all these people here. Why are you asking who touched you? Because Jesus wanted to know who touched Him. And He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. I'm the one. I pressed through. I couldn't get healed. And I thought if I could touch the hem of your garment, I would be healed. And He said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, seemingly Jesus didn't know exactly who was wanting to be healed that was projecting that toward Him. Because He asked the question, who did this? But her faith touched the one who was anointed for healing. That was Jesus. She actually put a demand on His anointing through her faith. God wanted to do it, so He did. Jesus said, I do nothing but what I see the Father do. He saw the Father do this. Actually, He felt it done. By virtue going out of Himself before He saw it. In John 5, then answered Jesus and said to them, verse 19, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, These also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. The Father shows Jesus all the things that he's doing. That's how Jesus knows what to do. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. The only way we're going to find out what and how many things God might do through us is by experience, not by instruction. You're not going to find out by reading God's best projection for you as his minister what you're going to do. That's what you hope for. That's what you pray for. And don't be aggravated with God when it doesn't happen. Because there are things involved, there are things wrapped around considerations that have to do with that healing that God knows about that we don't know. And as we are led by the Spirit of God, we'll discover what he wants us to do as we keep letting him lead us. It seems in this situation that Jesus saw what the Father wanted to do by feeling the virtue go out of himself, right? And then he didn't know who it was, and so he asked the question, I want to know who got healed. And so it was the will of God, and he saw what God was doing, what God was allowing this woman to draw out of him. Jesus felt that. So as you go forth and minister, then God will do the things through you as you believe, and he will let you know what he wants done. You might even feel it like Jesus feels it. But what I'm saying here is, it's not just simply that Jesus sees someone that wants to be healed and says, be healed. But it's also that God has a will in it. And people can draw on an anointing of someone who's anointed to heal people. And healing can come that way, thank God. You know, Heidi told me that the Lord spoke to her about one time she was asking him, why couldn't everyone get healed and why were so many people not healed? And he said that the Lord showed her, she said the Lord showed her, it's my job to love and hug people. It's his job to heal them. That gives God plenty of space, and it keeps us from thinking we have to be God. I can't make you be healed. I can't make healing come. But when it doesn't come, then I can ask some hard questions and find out what things might be keeping you or me from being healed. God gives us the wonderful privilege of asking him hard questions, and he wants us to ask if we care enough. In this particular case, Jesus was asking, somebody got healed. Who was it? And we've got to settle it that God knows things that we don't know, some things he doesn't tell us. But it shouldn't slow us down in continuing to minister healing. I'm sort of sitting on this because I have observed that we sometimes get discouraged. However, we are not discouraged today because we have heard the wonderful testimony of healing, and we know that God has heard and answered our prayers. But we shouldn't be slowed down whether we see an answer or whether we don't, because we're not in charge of all of that. When you find out that he's God and we're not, it's a great relief to your life. We've got to settle it that God knows things that we don't know, and he's not going to tell us some things. It looks as if Jesus did not at first know that this was going to happen, but he seems to be delighted that it did. So I want to talk to you just a minute here about finding answers. You know, depending on our personalities and our backgrounds, we respond differently when things don't turn out the way we think they should. Like Jane was just now mentioning, that if we had our hearts set on going to this thing that's happening on Saturday, that was going to happen on Saturday, or it was going to happen last Saturday. Now, I really do feel, I'm going to say this, because I like to say kind things about doctors because they help us with a whole lot of life-threatening things, and I'm thankful for doctors and for nurses. I'm also thankful for weathermen or weather persons. Because I've heard, I don't know, I think it's a thing in our temperaments or personalities that we want everything to always be the way we thought it was going to be. We want the weatherman to always be right. Well, how can he be? God's in charge of the skies. I just don't think they can always be right, but I've observed this, they're right a lot. And I bless the weatherman. That helps me a lot. That helps me dress. I don't come in the middle of the winter, barefoot and things like that to church, because I let the weatherman tell me what the weather's going to be like. There are things that we can know, but as when we saw how the weather was so unpredictable looking toward our festival, one of the thoughts I had is we really want that large investment that we've made in reaching the harvest. We want that to be where it can do the most good. And so it doesn't really matter which way we do it. What matters is that we do it. Isn't that right? And so I guess you could say you can get disappointed a little in your emotions, but I'm not really disappointed because I know that God's going to do it well, however he does it. Remember that we had to change the day on the last one, and it was better. It gave us more time to prepare, and I believe that in the June when we did it, that it was better because we changed the time. So we are like this. We don't like to have to change things. And some people say, you know, that women can't make up their minds. I think that's interesting. It's sort of out of style now. Like, nobody talks about women drivers anymore. Any of you old enough to remember when people say, that's a woman driver? Well, occasionally. So I just say, occasionally when I've seen that happen, you know, somebody will say something about it, I say, never mind, it's just a man driver. It can go either way, you know. I do believe men and women both make mistakes when they drive. Is that possible? How are we going to find answers, really? We have to start with what we do know before we can find the answer to what we don't know. The enemy will quickly try to interject his lies into our questions or our doubts. I wonder why this person didn't get healed. Well, of course, it's because God doesn't want to heal everybody. Oh, well, he's got a secret sin. That's very likely what it is. God's probably getting sickness, getting glory out of his sickness. Yeah, he's probably getting sickness out of him. I see God look at some of us sometimes and say, this makes me sick. Or God may be teaching them something. I believe they need to learn some things. Oh, Lord, help us. Who doesn't need to learn some things? Please, Lord, teach me quick before any sickness can come and try to attack. So the enemy will try to put, I would call those things that I said just then, easy answers that are not true. They're easy. They just happen to be lies. We've got to walk in the truth. If we're going to receive healing and minister it to others, and then that one that you've heard many times, it may not be the will of God to heal me. If a person seems to have lost a healing that he seemed to have, is there a reason? Well, it's not any of these I just told you. If a person had a healing and he seems to have lost it, what is the reason? It's not because it wasn't the will of God. Why did he heal him in the first place? Does God change his mind because he's not sure what he felt the first time? You think about it a minute. If God gave a man a healing, would he take it back? No, that's the devil that is undermining the truth and the power of what happened before. I read about a man who had club feet, a club foot, And he was just instantly healed in a healing meeting. And as he was walking down the road, although he had been was completely healed, he was walking down the road. Suddenly his club foot turned inward and started being just like it was before. The man sat down on the street, took off his shoe, and started talking to his foot. And he told his foot, in Jesus' name, you cannot act this way. Devil, you leave my foot alone. I am the healed of the Lord. I don't accept this. I won't receive it. And that foot straightened out and went back the way it was before. God's not taking things away from you. The devil with his lies. He did come to kill, steal, and destroy. If you can find anything good that the devil does, I want you to tell me what it is. Now, Matthew 12, verse 42, gives us one of the reasons a person might seemingly lose what was a healing. Remember that Jesus told the man at the pool of Bethesda, "Do you want to be made whole?" When there's a lack of wholeness in people, that lack of wholeness can come back in and undermine the truth that they were walking in for their healing. And I want you to know that just because that thing comes back again, you're prayed for and it seems that you've lost that or that thing is back again, there are reasons for that sometimes that are not hard at all. And I thought that might be a good thing for us to know what the Bible says about that. In Matthew 12, verse 42, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he saith, I'll return to my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. The Message Bible says that the house was left spotlessly clean but vacant. You see, people need to be instructed that are being healed, that are getting healed, that are being prayed for. They need to be instructed how to resist the enemy if he comes and tries to rob them. Have any of you ever had, like, you were healed of something for a while and then the thing crept back in again? That ever happened to people? So I want to touch on that. I believe we can get victory over that kind of thing. See, you won the battle. You drove the victory from the place. But you need to set up protection so that there's not a place for re-entry. Fill the house with the word of the Lord and allow nothing contrary that would give Satan a legal right to rob you of what God has given you. And we have to help people to fix the broken places in their lives, such as unforgiveness. That would be an open door for the enemy to come back in again. Does everybody get that? Now I want you to see, and Jesus, when he healed, he said, go your way and sin no more, lest a worse thing come to you. That's the evil spirit bringing back others. Because we need to teach people about walking in obedience to the Word of God. Now, you don't need to be fearing that you're going to lose what God's given you, but you need to be aware, if the enemy should try to attack, that it's the enemy doing it and not the will of God doing it. It's not particularly sin that keeps a person from being established in his healing. The person may need to forgive himself or repent of constant self-examination. Some people are just given to condemnation. They condemn themselves. Sometimes people are so broken that we have to pray for God to put his grace around them and forbid the re-entry of the devil. Remember, once Jesus cast a demon out and told him he could never come back. So these people might keep falling prey to Satan's attempts to re-enter. And I think this goes not only for physical healing, but also mental and spiritual. Some people live a seesaw, yo-yo life because they believe and they walk in the truth, and then they go back to their old ways. You've got to fill up that house that has been vacated of demons. And do not be empty. Be full of the Word of God. And be declaring that Word, because the enemy cannot come in where the Word of God closes the door. I ran across a little thing about Alexander Dowie's healing homes that I thought was helpful. Now, Alexander Dowie had healing homes back before 1900. It's in the late 1800s. And he had a wonderful healing ministry, and people went there. He built a city called Zion. And people went there and lived there. And so some people would go there to the healing homes and stay there for a period of time, and people would minister to them. It's similar to what Sandra Kennedy does, only she don't want all these people moving in on her, I'm sure. But they actually live there, and then people would come and minister to them. But here's an amazing thing that I didn't know. After people were healed, after they'd gotten their healing, staying in a healing home, then they stayed 13 more days while Alexander Dowie and others would come and teach them what God had done for them and how to maintain and sustain their healing. Now, nobody's got 13 days anymore, so that's why we don't do things like this. Most people don't even have 13 minutes. But that's the way that they walked, and it was very effective. We have to be protected from Satan's attempts to re-enter. I want you to be aware of that. And then here's the last thing that I want you to know about holding on to what it is God wants to give you. And also, so that you can end the confusion of why everybody isn't healed, and why you pray for people and you thought they were going to be healed and you told them that they were going to be healed. Well, you can tell them what God's Word says. I'm laying my hands on you. God's Word says that you will recover. Let's believe God together to see this. It is not necessarily the will of God when things happen. And you have to understand that the sovereignty of God does not excuse us from our part to see God get what He wants. We need to teach people how to walk in the miracle that they've received and not give it up to future attacks of the enemy. And this way people can be a part of their own healing and sustain it. Many people believe that whatever happens in life is God's will. No wonder they have such a bad opinion of God. It is not God's will for people to go to hell, but many will choose to. We have a part in the accomplishment. We have a part in the accomplishment of the will of God. That's why we pray. Now I want to talk to you just a minute here about the will of God, because so often I heard one minister say, there's going to come a clearer understanding and revelation of the sovereignty of God, about the sovereignty of God. Now, some people believe even that God's going to save people, some people, and He's not going to save other people. They use a wrong understanding about election and so forth to declare these things. But the fact is, God has not elected to save some and send others to hell. That's not true. Then why did Jesus say, whosoever will may come? What are they coming for? To be told they're not elected? And so this confusion has caused a lot of people to misunderstand, and they think that everything that happens is the will of God. And very often will shrug their shoulders and say, whatever the will of God is. Now, God wants you to be a part of establishing His will. But some people are not involved because they're not involved in prayer. They don't take responsibility. For example, it's not the will of God for people to be sick, so it is the will of God for you and me to pray for people to be well. Is that right? It's also the will of God for us to study and find out. I also, about who's not healed, I want to have a conversation with Norval Hayes before he departs this earth. He's very aged now, in his 90s. I once heard him make the statement, "I can get anybody healed if you'll give me long enough with them." That's a tremendous statement. And so I want to know what he knows that he feels that he can make a statement like that. Now, he tells about once casting demons out of a boy, a young man, who went stark raving mad out of his mind. I want to tell you the story so you see how serious it was. This was a young man who knew, he really knew about the things of God, and he had served God, but he had backslidden. And some of his friends were doing what crazy young people will do at times. How many of you remember the days of streaking? Okay. So, see, in case there are any people here from another country, they won't know what I'm talking about, and I can just feel free. That's an American term. And so they dared this young man, and I'm honest when I tell you this, I do not understand why a dare energizes people. And when people dared me to do things, I think, well, what would that prove? I just always feel that way about it. Or I don't have to respond to what you wish you could do, right? And so it's always a deception like that, to take a dare like that. So anyway, these young men were encouraging this other young man to streak all the way through the college campus from one end to the other. And he did it. But here was the amazing thing. When he got to the other side of the campus, he was a raving lunatic. He totally lost his mind in the process. Now, that's extremely sad. But because of Norval Hayes, there was hope. They took him to this young man, and he goes into detail to say how he worked with this young man. It's kind of amazing to hear it. in the middle of the process, it went on for hours. Now, I'm just telling you, this is a very unusual story. Don't you all run out and do something like this. Before you're going to minister to somebody for hours with demons, you be sure and give me a phone call, okay? Because I don't want you involved in something you really don't know that much about, maybe. So, so right in the middle of it all, the demons are speaking through the young man, and they say as if they are the young man, "I need a glass of water, I'm dying of thirst." And so the people there at the hospital or the prison, wherever they had him, they ran out to get him some water. And Norval Hayes said, "No way, I'm not giving demons water." And so he did all these unusual things. And it took all night long and part of the next day. And the man returned to his right mind. Now, don't you think it's good that there's somebody who asked the hard questions? Somebody's little son fell into the temptation of trying to impress his friends and needed to be delivered. Blessed be the man who can deliver people from their demons. We need to understand these things. So if you just think, well, whatever will be, will be. I mean, what God did was probably blasphemous, and that's the way it turned out. But we need to ask God. So I wanted to share with you this one little thing to show you how much difference it makes. How can we affect what seems to be or not the will of God? You remember in Acts chapter 12, they prayed for Peter. And the scripture says that the church prayed without ceasing, with all their hearts, for Peter to be saved or to release and for him not to die, as James had. Because Herod killed James, and when he saw that the people liked it, he made up his mind to also kill Peter. So because the people made this kind of prayer in concert, an angel came, an earthquake came, doors were unlocked. Everything that was needed for his escape and to live his life was at the other end of their prayers without ceasing. Gives you the feeling they didn't pray much for James. Or maybe didn't have the same opportunity. But how much difference it made. Now, some people would just say, well, that's how it is, you know. But hey, he's blessed. He can be counted with the martyrs, James, I'm talking about. I like this statement by Bill Johnson. In the absence of prayer, God's will is to use the power of the blood of the martyrs. If nobody's praying and somebody gets killed, then God will make good out of that evil thing because there's power in the blood of martyrs. But it's not that he's lining you up to be a martyr necessarily, but sometimes it's the lack of prayers of God's people that causes people to be martyrs. This is something to consider very seriously. The fact that God can use tragedy doesn't mean that he is the author of it. You see, I think it's okay to discuss these things a little bit if you want to, and it's wonderful to learn, to go to the right source and find out from God about these things. But you know, these horrible things that have happened, and there's been so many of them lately, natural disasters, insurance companies call acts of God. We live in a fallen world. And I think that means also that the world itself is under that same curse and needs Jesus to deliver it and us. We need his deliverance. We need his healing. I think this way about doctors and nurses. All the things that they can do to help are God's instruments to keep the enemy from doing his worst. Anything, that any invention, anything that comes to help us detect earthquakes, Thank you. I can draw tsunamis quicker than I can say it. Because tsunamis are so disastrous. God has put us here to be a part of accomplishing his sovereign will. He makes us a part of his sovereignty. Shall I say partners in his sovereignty, as we pray for what God wants. So if you pray for what God wants, then you don't have to worry about whether or not it's the will of God. But if it doesn't happen, let's say you pray for someone that needs to be healed, then it could be, I mentioned some of the things that it could be that are keeping that healing from happening. And not all of them are sin. It's various other things. But there are things sometimes that hinder that. You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah 58 that says, if we will do certain things, our health will spring forth speedily. One of them is to feed the poor. One is don't hide yourself from your own flesh. So you could go to Isaiah 58, read down that list and say, are there any of these things in my life? So you can look and you can ask the Holy Spirit, will you show me what kind of things might be hindering? And as you minister to people, sometimes I don't share with people something I think it might be because they've let me know that they don't want to receive in that area. You can't always say. I mean, God doesn't always show you things so you can say it. Sometimes he shows you things so you can pray it. And so, but the important thing is that we keep praying. I was just deliriously happy to hear this report this morning about Tammy. And if we don't, when we don't understand something, by the way, there will be things if you live long enough that you won't understand. But here's another quote from Bill Johnson. Don't water down mystery with unhealthy explanations. Don't water down mystery with unhealthy explanations. If you're going to walk in revelation, you have to be willing for mystery. Or else stay back there and be in a church where we're just not going to pray for the sick then. Because we don't know what to say if somebody doesn't get healed. We don't know what to say either, so we don't say. But we keep praying for the sick. See, this is sort of a little kind of an unraveling kind of message today. But I think that if we're going to be involved in the harvest, getting people healed, getting them delivered, then we also need to be involved in helping them with those things in their lives that are hindering them from walking in all that God has promised. And as I want us to keep believing God today, there's been a wonderful atmosphere established here today, and so I just want us to stand together. And I believe that in this place, we want to be harvesters, don't we? How many of you want to be a harvester more than you used to? That means that you're beginning to get revelation and it's sinking down deep down inside. And so I think that we need to ask the Lord today to help us embrace mystery, understand the revelation that He gives us, and go on with strength and zeal to keep doing what He wants us to do. How many of you are going to say, I'm going to keep on praying for the sick and believe them to recover? Let me see your hands. See, I just think we just need to put our foot down and say, devil, you just do your worst. I'm still going to keep praying for the sick to be healed. And I'm still going to keep looking for them to recover. You may have a sickness yourself. And ask the Lord if He will begin to show you any things in your life that could be unforgiveness. Fear is another thing that's in the way. Self-condemnation. If you have a long time of introspection, you might even go on with it for days. Just notice whether you feel better at the end of it or not. So I'm just suggesting to you, what if we just be simple enough to let it happen? What if we just be children enough that we say, Jesus, you said this and we're going to have it. I'm amazed how many more people seem to be healed and how many more miracles there seem to be in countries where people don't have the benefit of education like we have. I think our smarts is getting in our way. And so we need to just simply, Yong Yi Cho said, sometimes my people did some things that weren't exactly right, but they believed God said what He was going to do. And so He's given this example of you shouldn't really do it this way, but a man needed to be healed of lameness. The man couldn't walk, and he said, our people prayed all night long and sat on his legs and got him up and walked him around and did everything you could. I don't suggest this, just like I said about the other one. But he said, but that morning he walked. He said, I didn't want to say too much to them, and then he just laughed. Because children who don't know everything but believe God can really get a lot accomplished, can't they? Let's just bow our hearts in His presence for a moment. Lord, we pray as the man did, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. We come to You today and we say, we do believe Your word, and there's things that hang us up sometimes. But we want to be free from those things. We want deliverance, and we want You to encourage us like You did this morning. And show us other healings and other miracles. And give us words, Lord, that will divide between soul and spirit. And give us, Lord, another chance to be faithful in what You've called us to do. I think as our hearts are still bowed in His presence, if you recognize that you have a problem, like I'm talking about today, asking a whole lot of questions, sometimes letting it discourage you, or maybe just right now at this time in your life you're having this problem, I want to pray for you that the Lord will release for you. I want you to put your hand up if you need prayer for that. Lord, I'm just looking to you right now. I've been dealing with some doubts and some fears and some things that I've let complicate my life. If you want to be prayed for, you need to lift your hand, and I believe there's more than three people that need this prayer. Lord, I thank you. We do have problems. We do have problems. I do, and we all do. But now we come and lay this at the altar, and we say, Jesus, help us and give us strength and show us how to reach out for the answers, because you answer the hard questions. And Lord, we just acknowledge that we can't find out necessarily a lot by talking to each other. But when we talk to you and we get into your word, and when Holy Spirit begins to speak to us, then we get a breakthrough in our understanding. I pray, Lord, that you let us be obedient to just walk according to your word. And we reach out to receive a fresh anointing to pray for people, to believe, to see healing, deliverance, salvation flowing like a river in this house. Thank you that you set us free, Lord, to receive what comes our way when it's from you, and to resist the enemy when it's from him, and to either way to rejoice in who you are and what you've given us and what you call us to. Let's sing a song of worship before we go today, and I want us to